Welcome all, welcome all. We got the Superman Radio Revisited podcast, Matt Cody. Welcome, sir.
Hey there, Sully. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime, anytime. I am your host, Cam Sully, and I am, again, you know, we just wanted to just kind of dissect all kinds of fun movie serials, cult fandom, and even just other stuff. And you've been doing a good job just covering just the original 40s serial of Superman, and I just figured this is perfect. You know, we can talk about just an iconic, you know, it's already part of pop culture, this character just mentioning everything from music and TV to, you know, athletes and cartoons. It's, there's just something about this character who, because of his various medium that he's been in, video games, Saturday morning programming, you know, it's just shorts that play before a feature. There's just, you can't not think about him in some capacity. There's, he has everything that the human spirit wants, and he's got awesome villains that he faces off against. And since we're doing a villain side to this madness, I just figured, hey, this would be fun out of the many superhero specials.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'll give me a chance to get out of the 40s too. So,
they're not as bad as the Batman ones where you hear so many racial slurs and you're like, jeez, this is killer.
Yeah, I haven't got that far yet, but I'm sure that's coming.
Totally. Oh, my goodness. So, when did you get into the saga?
Oh, probably since I was a kid. So, I was born in 77. So, Superman the movie would have came out in 78. And I'm sure it's just always been around, you know. So, through the Super Friends cartoon or whatever.
Yeah.
In comic books and a shoebox or whatever back then. I guess I've just always been drawn to superheroes in general, so and I've enjoyed comic books and cartoons and the movies, so yeah.
And the history where they came from, I take it. Have you also heard Real Comic Heroes?
What is that then?
That's another fun podcast. Just kind of, and they kind of ventured off. They talked into various cult movies and shows that continued their legacy through a comic, like everything from Blade Runner, Big Trouble in Little China, to Star Trek and RoboCop.
Yeah, I haven't yet. I might have to check that out.
Right. Yeah, they anytime they took on superheroes, they always did it in chronological order, from Corman's Fantastic Four to the 70s and 90s Captain America. And it's like, hey, we'll get there. We got to show you effectively, you know, where it was before it got here to this new popular incarnation.
Yeah. I like going back to the beginning, I guess. I just decided to, you know, start reading from Action Comics number one. And once I got to where the radio serial started, I like to follow along with podcasts too, like index shows and stuff. So
it brings back the old school kind of, you know, just the how radio used to be, where you had only your imagination, you know?
Yeah. And so, yeah, I liked when the newspaper strip started up, and then the Sunday strip started up. I started reading those, and like I said, I was following a couple different Golden Age Superman podcasts. One was called Golden Age Superman. The other one was The Thrilling Adventures of Superman. And then they got so far, and then they are either on hiatus or they stopped. And I just was like, well, I'm going to keep going with at least the radio serial. I'm not going to cover everything, but the radio serial seems like that would be a fun project. So I listen to enough podcasts. It's like, yeah, I might as well try to start one. And speaking of which,
totally,
you're quite a prolific podcaster. I've noticed you got like 500 episodes. So.
You're too kind.
Congratulations, sir.
I made time for it. I was on my friend's podcast, and I decided I'm doing so much bitching right now, just driving to their studio. I should just grow a brain and do it on my own terms instead of, you know, getting annoyed, because that's just it. Like, so many people will just, I don't know, it's just too many cooks in the kitchen. They'll just want to just complain to each other. And it's like, no, just contribute.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thank you for that. It's not easy.
No, that's really quite the accomplishment, though. It's awesome.
We all try to do our thing because there's, you know, you want to give everything, at least, you know, get your feet wet doing it, and then navigate from there. And anything that backfires, you can add some comedy to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have to ask, because I have a kind of a house band, like Man's Ear does my theme songs, and they're probably going to want to know about your theme song. How'd you come up with that? That's pretty awesome.
I did, long story short, I did a music video for the band, and they paid me back.
What was that?
I did a music video for this band 5 years ago, and they decided we'll help you out in return.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah.
I thank them immensely for it, because it just gets everyone in the mood.
Catchy. It's great. Yeah, it's just pumps you up.
Anything?
So how do you want to get into this then?
Long story short, what was your first, you know, I'm not trying to ask too much, but like when you got into any kind of medium of Superman, what made you just realize I am a fan, and I love these opposition that he goes against, all these giant robots, all, you know, these Darkseid henchmen, you know, Lex Luthor is basically nowadays kind of Jeff Bezos, yeah. Elon Musk, but if he went even too far, you know, it's just...
right. Yeah, it's kind of scary how we have some real life examples, but anyway,
and then they'll even be on record saying, I love that character, totally oblivious to what, you know, they're a monster or what have you, getting people killed. It's like,
geez. Yep.
Not sure if you're kidding, but if you're not, well.
Right. So kind of getting back into my origin story, I guess I'll just briefly say, like the first time I discovered I didn't have to read the same five comics I had or however many I had, discovered like a comic book show at a Howard Johnson. My parents took me to that, and I met this guy. His name is Alan Morton. He's my first dealer, I guess you could say, comic book dealer. So anyway, he would sell like 50 comic books for $20. And at that time, I mean, this is a long time ago, so there was the John Byrne run, though. If you're familiar with comic books, Superman comic books.
I know there was J. Michael Straczynski from B5, and his run wasn't as popular, but he also did Thor and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. But the John Byrne stuff was great, because like when they relaunched, kind of rebooted Superman, kind of changed a lot of what happened after Crisis. You probably heard the terms pre-Crisis, post-Crisis Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really got into it with the post-Crisis, just having all those issues in a row to read. That's what kind of got me into the character and in the different stories, and seeing how Lex Luthor was portrayed as a businessman, like you were saying. So
yeah, just sneaky, letting everyone else to do it. And I'm still waiting on a proper like version of him, because it seems like you just don't get that too much. It's just, I kind of like how I want a proper version of John Connor in Terminator Medium. I would like an actual kick-ass version of Lex Luthor.
Yeah, you kind of need to go to the animation for it.
Unfortunately, it's just Clancy Brown.
The Justice League cartoon did it awesome, I think.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Clancy Brown.
It's great. I just wish there was a live action version.
Yeah, I get you. And I do like Michael Rosenbaum in Smallville. Yeah. And
he's probably the best of the live action versions. Yeah.
Yeah. And I liked how they intertwine the childhoods of, well, I guess he was a freshman in high school when they met, Clark was, but yeah, anyway.
had to rework it for the high school crowd. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yep. The WB network back then, but then you had to come to the CW.
We just got off another chat where we were making fun of Canadian locations, like on X-Files or Highlander. And you're like, Smallville or Supernatural
area. Yes. Yeah, I'd love to go there, though, see where they film some of that stuff. I bet it's pretty country.
Yeah. Really, really beautiful. Yeah.
Vancouver. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think, or just whoever the creators are, whether they're scribbling this down and illustrating it or looking at it, why do you think, because we know he's inevitably not going to die, but he still has kryptonite, why do we still cater to Superman? Is it just that we lust over having the exact same stuff that he has and features, or is it just more that he's fearless and selfless? He's a human alien. What is it about his obstacle overcoming that you think is just captivating for audiences still?
Yeah, probably just that never say die. Well, with the exception of when he did die, but
yeah, it happens every once in a while.
He got better, but that was kind of playing into there was kind of like a, I like it, the fact that he could die, you know, and there was that kind of deus ex machina of how he came back due to the matrix chamber in his ship, you know, in the how they did it. And I like the fact that it's kind of used up and he couldn't be brought back that way again, you know, because I like the fact that he's Superman, and I like finality, and I know comic books aren't known for that, but I would like to know that he could die and stay dead. Like, he's not a god. I don't like when he's portrayed that way. But, and then there's more, he's got more skin in the game too. Like, he is giving it his all, and he is willing to sacrifice his life if necessary to save somebody. Or,
yeah, it's not just Lois or anybody. It's pretty much everybody he trusts.
Yeah, and I have a friend, and he said this before, and it kind of rings true. It's like, he's as strong as the story needs him to be. Or
there you go.
So, I mean,
yeah, which is exactly what, ironically, that's probably why J. Michael Straczynski got along with them, because that was his whole deal with his various TV shows. Everyone would ask him for specifics and be like, whatever amounted to the story continuing being epic.
Yeah. There's nice. It's nice if you can knock him down a peg once in a while, or like through a character like Metallo or Parasite, you know, draining his energy. But at the end of the day, maybe he puts on a lead suit or something. He comes out in the end and kicks their ass.
You're right. And you're fine with him getting vengeance, because, you know, instead of being like a Highlander or a just, you know, Captain America conceit, like kind of like how only until recently in the comics or movies did they illustrate that Captain America is aware that he's being used as a propaganda tool. It's interesting how it took him a while to have Superman acknowledge that, hey, you know, mankind treats me like crap. You know, they rely on me to save their asses so many times.
Yeah,
it's interesting how the evolution of that, it's not like Jaws where, hey, we got the low and, you know, heroic sheriff helping us, you know, from supernatural, you know, creatures attacking us. Now it's even more than that. Now it's, hey, you know, we gotta do our best.
Yeah,
totally. You know, and some of the movies do actually try to illustrate, you know, kind of go for more of a Godzilla type spectacle where everyone's, you know, you got implied casualties and they're all trying to interact and see what they can do to help Soup, even though, you know, it's beyond their control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I kind of made a list. I don't know if that's kind of what you had in mind for.
No, it's fine. Yeah, no, absolutely. Any notes that help?
Being, top Superman villains. First, before I really get into it, though, and feel free to pipe in or whatever you want to do anytime, but like, my first one is going to be, before I really get into the list proper, it's like made a, like a, the meta real world, a Superman villain could probably be considered like fans who just dismiss Superman as too powerful or too OP, you know, like,
oh, yeah, there's always shit talkers. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's just the big blue boy scout, or he's too boring. But I think if you don't appreciate Superman, then it's just, this says more you're about
probably
you.
Probably more toxic than you realize. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's trying, he's like, he's just trying to help. He wants to be a friend. And it's just like,
it's like, good grief, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's where, you know, pretty much popular comic books anyway sprang from. Like, if you like any character, it can be traced back to him. So pay your dues, man. You gotta like that guy.
Yeah.
But
all spade a spade.
Oh, and the other thing too is just it all comes down to stories. Like, maybe you haven't exposed yourself to the right story.
So,
yeah. I mean, if you haven't really gave him a shot. I mean, if you just don't like him, that's fine, but at least try it out. Try different writers and artists and before you want to shit talk.
Exactly.
But
it's just amazing. Just people go there.
But that was my meta answer. I just thought, well, that's kind of a villain. All those people that just, you know, like Superman.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Why do you think that is, that people just misremember when Superman does or doesn't kill? And it's like, well, I've seen him kill a bunch of people, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, and I like the fact that, you know, for the most part, he doesn't kill, but yeah, he certainly has. And to say he hasn't is
a big conceit.
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't have a problem in, like, the Man of Steel movie, for instance, when he killed Zod, because,
right,
you know, Zod was not going to stop. And yeah, so
it's happened in the comics too. It's kind of like people forget what happens in the comics and they just get mad at just how it's presented. Like, I'm always surprised when people freak out about, I don't know, it's just like anything from, oh my God, this X-Men character died, or, you know, this Iron Man or Thor character is supposed to do this or that. I'm like, so first you're cool with just them adapting your favorite comic, then you're contrarian yourself saying, no, I don't want it to be this way or presented that way. I'm like, well, eventually they're going to go their own way and do it some other way. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yep. And circling back, why I like Superman, I guess, is just that the obvious answer, like, he's doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do type. So.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And that is kind of where it really ultimately does come down to, is like, I mean, I don't see why anyone would even hate the character, really. Like, if he just absolutely cares, like, he got abandoned by his planet and he came to a new planet. I mean, it's kind of like an immigrant, you know, he adopted.
Yeah, it is a great immigrant story. And hearing how he was compared to Moses, like, I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Moses comparison,
right?
And the Christ comparison grates on me, but but I like the Moses.
Yeah, it can get preachy to where it's just like, okay, guys, there was other people besides just beliefs, you know?
yep. Before I get into it, like the Whistler. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Whistler.
Oh, the meteorologist! Holy shit!
No, that was just actually a shameless plug for my radio podcast because my current coverage is dealing with, there's a character called the Whistler in there. And it's kind of like whatever story you're reading or watching, or that's what you're invested in. But that one's not going to be one that stands the test of time. We don't know the Whistler today, but what are you looking at that you actually found something about a meteorologist?
John Whistler was a meteorologist in a Superman 1943 comic. So, sorry.
Oh, okay.
But he's technically not a villain, my bad. Unless something's changed.
And then I got a couple goofballs, but they're fun. Kind of from the like 70s, probably Bronze Age. Terra Man, Space Cowboy.
That's the one. What do you think?
On a winged horse.
What do you think? Metallo.
Yeah, he's on my list. But getting off the other goofy one would be a composite Superman. Have you seen what he looks like?
I think he's one of the other, he's not a mirror universe. He's one of the other cloned ones.
He's got green skin, but he's got like half Superman, half Batman.
Oh, okay.
Sure. So I like Batman Superman team up, so. But yeah, then getting into kind of my top 10, since he's mentioned Metallo, I put him there with Parasite. And number 9 would be Ultra Humanite, because he's first, like the first recurring villain from the comic books anyway, like the Golden Age.
Right.
And the whole brain swapping was fun with, first he's like a crippled man, and later he's in an actress's body, and later in an albino ape. So, and
stuff. Then,
yeah, absolutely. Then Maxima, are you familiar with her?
No, I don't know that one. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. But she's basically this warrior alien, looks like a, you know, basically a beautiful woman, but she wanted Superman to be her mate because she's who you thought was suitable to be. I forget what race she is, but anyway, Maxima's a great character. And then of course she gets a little rough about how she wants to make that happen. So anyway,
gotcha.
7 would be like Bizarro.
All right.
And I count like Christopher Reeve and Superman 3 kind of under that, when he had that synthetic kryptonite. I actually really like Superman 3. So,
there's some fans of it out there because, I mean, it just needs more Richard Pryor.
Sure. Yeah, I wouldn't complain about that. There's Ultraman, like basically any different version of himself. That's what I would classify for Bizarro. And then six, I'd put Darkseid. And I kind of would, in parentheses, like Mongol, just kind of some bruisers. Five, gotta say Fifth Dimension for five, Mr. Mixiez Pytelec. Basically comics. He was in the Superboy series.
But do you feel like, you know, aside from the comics being the main place where it was formed and everything, do you feel like it could be better adapted?
I think the cartoon, there's a great Superman the Animated Series episodes with him, with Gilbert Gottfried.
Mm-hmm.
He did the voice. Those are worth checking out if you're not familiar with that character.
I'll definitely try that because I do recall the animation being very awesome growing up.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then this is my ranking, but you know these are interchangeable because I think they all work together. The variety is what makes the story so good too. Is like, but anyway. I'm just saying my ranking might change. I'm very fickle that way.
I mean, there's other people more powerful than Luther. More often, he's not even the instigator. He just joins and takes advantage of this, like any.
Oh, yeah. He's great when he works behind the scenes like that, too.
When he becomes president, I mean.
Oh, yeah. And for Doomsday. Just obviously he put him in the ground. So three would be General Zod and like Eradicator. I count like all that Kryptonian, Nagrsa, Jaxxer, all those guys, which is kind of subheading. Two, Brainiac, which with the AI going on these days,
Brainiac was pretty much predicting all that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I really liked how the animated series did Brainiac too, kind of tied him in with Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
And then one, Lex Luthor, Morgan Edge, and Bruno Meinheim, kind of other humans that, yeah, would fall under that.
Totally. I wish they could kind of continue shows like that every once in a while too.
Yeah. Mm hmm.
Altogether, I mean, it seems like they, again, you know, they don't have any human villains anymore because it's boring, I guess, in their eyes. They just figure they should do supernatural stuff or someone using the kryptonite.
Well, yeah, with Superman, you kind of have to, too, because you got to get those vulnerabilities of, like, magic can be effective against him.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
yeah.
I'm gonna have fun today. Altogether, I mean, what's your favorite of the satellite plots? It seems like they always have a satellite going out of whack or something.
Okay.
Or just someone misusing technology and, you know.
Okay.
I mean, if there's any plots like that, otherwise I can think of some other ones.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll agree with you. Or if one pops in my head, I'll mention it. But
I can't remember the episode, but I do recall somewhere in the 90s cartoon, there was a bunch of other just kind of cybernetic mayhem. Now, again, that's in general, but I do recall certain specific ones where they were like trying to save some astronauts. So,
okay, yeah, yeah. Maybe just when he had a big slugfest with Darkseid, that was That was a couple two-parter that was pretty vicious, and you actually I think saw like some blood in there, which was rare,
right?
To see, but extra cool because it was rare, I guess.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
How diabolical would you say it is for most of the plots? Because it seems like they've gotten more grim and recently, but for a while they just used to have a reasonable amount of optimism.
Yeah. Well, like with New 52, they kind of flip things around where they made humanity distrust Superman, like the government just looked at him as a threat. Yeah, mm-hmm. Looked at him as which is a way to tell stories, I suppose. General Sam Lane, I guess, can be used that way. Just distrusting of him being an alien, I guess. There's that xenophobia going on.
Yeah, total xenophobia.
Yep. Yep. And then I guess you have people like Batman there's a great story where Superman trusted him so much he gave him a kryptonite ring called Dark Knight of Metropolis, which is
I think I did see one of the Dark Wings, but I never finished the article. I was just casually viewing it in a comic book shop and I was like,
okay, what? Sure.
So when I saw that Dr. Strange had these different rings, I got it mixed up. Obviously, I knew they were different labels, guys, chill. But it was just interesting to me how it was like, whoa. I wonder who came up with the idea first, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Do you think it was Marvel or DC who came up with it first? Probably DC. I don't know.
With the...
The rings?
I'm not sure how it was used in Dr. Strange.
You know how he has those rings?
Oh, okay. When he does the spells and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably Doctor Strange, I guess, because I was just talking about Lex having a kryptonite ring.
I got what you meant. I just figured just having a ring as a weapon, I just always find interesting, kind of like it went beyond just swords and everything.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Or just the kryptonite again, which he'll impel you with or put you near it, and then you decide, oh, okay, well, I can actually back away from it, so there's got to be a way for you to plant it near him if you want to actually kill him.
Yeah, take the conversation wherever you want now. I kind of got that.
Okay, no, it's all good. Altogether, I mean, I haven't heard any announcements of other ones. Let's talk a little bit about Parasite and Bizarro. They're kind of other ones that are, they bring them up, but they don't really use them as much as they probably could.
Uh-huh.
But Parasite, I always felt, you know, just given the chemical stuff, it always felt to me like he was meant to be a Batman or a Spider-Man villain, and somehow he ended up in the Superman timeline.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it works really well. Because he's the Superman would be the ultimate meal for a guy like him, so.
And then there's Brainiac, who I often mistook for, you know, Darkseid, but, you know, there's a difference. It's just.
Yeah, yep.
And General Zod, obviously, you know, we can't talk enough about him or Doomsday, because, I mean, they intersect in all kinds of crossovers and everything, and even Lobo and Atomic Skull.
Oh, yes.
And people forget. I mean, people don't forget, but they forgot how Black Adam fought Superman a few times. I think he was mind controlled a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's just a ton of stories still to read for me and stuff like that.
Mongol, so. Yeah.
Yeah, the War World scenario is really great.
I'm not sure how they can keep them interesting, and obviously everyone has different takes on what are the best eras of the different, you know, character arcs and what have you. But, yeah, I mean, If I...
Yeah.
Who would you say is the best... how to word this? I've been doing chats all day today.
Oh, you're fine.
When you take on a different... You know, when you do all this research, you look at the timeline and you see the different... how Superman's portrayed in this era versus that. Where do you think everyone kind of lost sense of the timeline and the overall arcing themes? Do you think probably around the 70s or 80s, they kind of blurred, they became more obsessed with movie and TV versions?
And not as many. Okay. Well, I'd say they really got laser focused with that John Byrne revamp, like I was talking about, just kind of started over and reintroduced post-crisis versions of different characters. And actually, that's my favorite era probably in the comics is 1986 to about 2004. I think that kind of ends. Like, and to plug another podcast, there's one called From Crisis to Crisis I'm following, so. That's a really good one. It's like
a different crisis on Infinite Earth.
What's that?
A different crisis on Infinite Earth.
But oh yeah, the other one's Infinite Crisis, I believe. And that kind of was where that. And then that's probably where they lost track is around late 2000s. Just so many different secret origins and. Kept on just beating that horse, like Superman Earth 1 by J. Michael Straczynski was really good, but and then the second volume of that, there's a good Parasite story. Superman Earth 1 volume 2. Mm-hmm. I haven't read volume 3 yet, but not to say, I mean, that's part of the great lasting appeal too, though, of Superman is just he can be spun all these different ways, different versions, and there's something out there for everybody, I would say.
But that's good.
Yeah.
It's like Spider-Man, like people also kind of forget how he can sometimes be a little selfish or deprecating, and it's cool to see someone who actually he changes up every once in a while here and there. It's no longer just growing up as a farm, you know, protecting my adopted parents. It's can be a little more than that.
Yeah. Any character has been around enough to be revamped, I guess, has a lot of history to draw from.
Don't be told.
Yeah.
I also wonder if they'll ever just do a proper, like, just versus movie.
Yeah. Like, such and such versus such and such, or get two characters in mind, or.
I could see them. I think they would make better money if they did a giant Marvel versus DC event. Like, I think that's what everyone really secretly wants to see.
Yeah. And I don't know. Well, I know it would be great. I don't know if it'll be like 2034 at least before that happens, but it seems like that would be an ultimate slugfest. That would be really cool. But you got to just play in their own houses right now, I guess. I don't know how you felt about, you mentioned Black Adam earlier. I don't know how you felt about that movie.
I think they had a good idea. They just kind of waited a while.
And I thought it was entertaining. Like, I liked Dr. Fate and Hawkman, and I could smell what The Rock was cooking. I wanted to see where that was going. I want more Henry Cavill. So that's too bad. We're not going to see any more of that, apparently. I guess never say never. but
that's cool. Altogether, I mean, it just seems like everyone's having to adjust because now there's different powers and control everything. You know, Kevin Feige's having different people in charge of the different Marvel properties, and James Gunn is part of DC now, and it's just an interesting predicament of what they'll experiment with next.
Right.
You can also take a decade off and just catch up on it later. You know, it'll be there.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what happens with the Superman Legacy movie. But I'm not.
Yeah, I'm just kind of sure have a casting as him. But yeah,
right. I just kind of have a low bar anymore for the adaptations. I know the comics are always there, so
right.
It's at least we have that and animation, and so.
Altogether, where can we find you on the social media other than Twitter?
Well, thanks for asking. I have a podcast called Superman Radio Revisited on Spotify, Apple, and I'm on Twitter at Radio Superman. And there's a Superman Radio Revisited Facebook group. If anybody wants to join, love to have them. That's pretty much where you can find me.
Good. How far do you think you'll go in the run of just tackling it?
I don't know. I'm kind of moving at a snail's pace. I mean, it's incredible how the radio serial was, because they had like 3 episodes a week, and then later I think it even goes to 5 times a week. But I have a full time job plus, so it seems like I'll tackle and. Episode a week if I'm lucky, you know, and sometimes there's hiatuses and all that, but I'm trying to make it about a weekly show where I just play an episode, because they're actually public domain, I believe, the 40s radio serial, so I just play an episode and then give my commentary. So it's just a fun thing to do for now, and I don't know, I'd love to get through it, but it'll probably be retired if I ever make that happen. There's like over 1,000 episodes, so. But just doing these goofy storylines, though, it's just fun.
And we need more fun, and we need people to just kind of realize we can do an actual narrative, a history lesson, even do your own biography, true crime, or even audio book. You know, it's just, there's so many.
Yeah.
Things that can escalate into this,
right? And I would love to I don't know, I know you're more, I know I've just kind of been checking out your podcast, but like, see, you're really into film and a cinephile, and I can't keep up with all the stuff and names that
actually sometime. Easier for me to do comics and TV actually in a way, because you got an overall arching thing, as opposed to I must dissect, you know, most of each movie or the franchise, or hey, I like it, but I don't love it as much as everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
But it shows an easier thing because it's a slow burn, and it's just, I can't do an episode by episode format. It's just too much.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some stuff, you know, sometimes you might find out the hard way, like, hey, I'm not sure if I even like or hate that episode because it doesn't make sense until you watch the next 5 episodes.
Yeah, that's kind of, I'm going in blind a lot of times. Like, I haven't listened to it until I record the show. So, I mean, I listen to it, make my notes, whatever, but I usually don't, except for the current story, I did listen to 2 episodes, and I might drop 2 episodes at once just to try that out.
Sure.
Maybe two, just
one tinker on Monday, one on Friday. Yeah, I know.
Yep. Yep.
One on Sunday, then another on Monday. I know. There's plenty.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, I could maybe where I was going with that, I guess, talk about you with the being into the movies and stuff. It might be fun to do a fan film or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there you go. A Superman fan film would be very easy, because then you would have to kind of discuss just, how do I say this? It's like they were kind of illustrating how just the character has not only changed face with those who love him and everything, but like it, when they imply that he's in a different world and everything, is like, whoa, it wasn't just that. It's also just illustrating that they represent these other kind of illusions. And like you said, it is good that they're getting away from just crap like, hey, he's a religious icon, he's just, you know, second coming of Christ. He's actually trying to be someone who, again, is selfless.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I like, I don't know if you watch the Superman and Lois show, but yeah, but that show seems to really ground him as a dad. So it's a different take, but I really like it. It's great.
It's good.
So yeah, that's a scoop for you. I don't know who cares, but that's, if I actually make it to like 100th episode, maybe that's what I'll do. some kind of fan film thing.
Yeah. I mean, you can even shuffle it around. I know some people will do a different tone each week.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.